And they would remain in prison for 27 to 28 years, the longest POW captivity of an entire race of people. And in this captivity, this is before human rights, Miranda rights. This sets the precedent for everything else to come. You know, this is nothing. You know, this makes the Japanese internment look like nothing. This makes Guantanamo Bay look like nothing. We're talking innocent women and children, men dying in captivity. That's the real legacy of the mythology that everyone loves to read about, the heat of the chase. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that exciting? And yet, the experience of the prisoners of war has so long been left out of the narrative. It is very sad. And I know that the descendants of the prisoners of war are still working, you know, to try and get this time period acknowledged. From as far as I know, they have never had a formal apology, you know, from the United States for this period of captivity. So you have they were sent to Florida, I think, for about a year or so. Then they were moved to Fort Pickens, Alabama, I think, for about 13 years, and then finally moved over to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And they were finally released from their captivity, their prisoner of war status, in 1913. So in 2013, we'll come up on the 100-year anniversary of their being released from POW status. And in this 27, 28-year period of captivity, we look at perhaps 500 Chiricahua Apaches, and we look at their numbers, their population. They're decimated to just over 200 by the end of their captivity. And of these 200, a large portion of them are children who are born into captivity as United States prisoners of war. So, you know, there's just no equating that atrocity, you know, that wrong that Chiricahua people have experienced. And, you know, and like I said, that's just one story. And there are so many of these horror stories in Native America that I think need to be told, especially if we like to fancy these ideals that America represents, you know, freedom, democracy, justice, liberty. Native Americans deserve that too.
That's a great story. Great in the not, you know what I mean by,
yeah, no,
in
it's
the awesome sense.
It is a story that I think is
big, deep sense of great.
Yeah, no, it's a.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, that, you know.
How
that
was it justified? Was it ever? Did anybody ever attempt to justify it? Why didn't they? Why did they pass them around like that?
Well,
not just send them
home?
I
think that it was. It's been described as not being politically expedient. In some areas, I know in the early stages that people in Florida were excited that the famous Chiricahua Apaches were coming, and it was kind of like a sideshow where people would come, you know, and see the tenacious Apaches, you know, and I think the same thing carried on for many years. There is a real I struggle to comprehend these wrongs, and you know, I am still trying to wrap my mind around, you know, the why, because it was very obvious and very well known that these were innocent people who were imprisoned for the actions of a small group. You know, I don't know. I can only attribute that to ignorance and racism.
It seems casual and arbitrary,
mm-hmm.
which makes it even more horrific.
Yeah.
It would never be good, but
yeah.
If you felt like there was a reason, if you could say, you know, that But if it was, it, it was simply some sort of, I don't know. I also think the timing of it is very interesting because, you know, we're doing this project for the centennial,
mm-hmm.
which was 1912. Mm-hmm. And this group of people was not released
until
1913.
Arizona protested their being returned. Arizona wanted nothing to do with these Apaches once they were freed, which is why many of them stayed in Oklahoma. And the remaining, I think there were, I don't know the exact numbers, but it's around 200 or so. I think about a third of them stayed in Oklahoma. And their descendants today are the Fort Sill Apache tribe. I think two-thirds of the surviving group moved to the community of Mescalero in New Mexico because they had got along with those Apaches there, and they had relations, and there were similar customs and so forth. And so, but the Chiricahua Apaches were not allowed back. You know, Arizona wanted nothing to do with them because they... I mean, Arizona today is still an incredibly volatile state, and as you go through this history, you'll find instances like names. I remember as a child going like to Tucson, on the way to U of A, and passing by Ori Park, just off Speedway, and then that's a captivating name, and you come across who's this guy Ori. Ori. Turns out he is a Tucson citizen who led a mob of vigilantes and massacred an entire tribe of Aravaipa Apaches, mostly women and children, who were sleeping while the men were off hunting. And these were Apaches that had come into a fort called Camp Grant peaceably and who had been peaceful for many months and who were actually trying to escape the war that was going on. And they were just massacred in the worst possible way.